Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right. You know, we're going to start. Before I start tonight, let me just apologize for the fuzziness that is going on with our music. We are definitely working out those. So if you ever hear any fuzziness when you come on, just go into prayer with us. You know what? Just go into prayer with us, because we know that the enemy don't want us to be heard, fed, or taught. But guess what? We're stronger than that, because what? We're more than conquerors. So we will conquer this. We will keep forward with it, okay? Hallelujah. Amen, everyone. Let's start with our scripture. Psalms. We're in the Tanakh again. Old Testament. Psalms 149. All right, you know, split your Bible kind of in half right there. Find your psalm. So let's go to chapter 149 and read. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's get that started. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise is in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their master, in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad to their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. And let's make music to him with the tambourines and the harps. For the Lord takes delight in his people. So every time that we're shouting and we're really not just entertaining us, but we're just singing for the purpose of just pleasing our God, that what we say and what we sing may be pleasing to his heart and to his ears, that he's just getting delight out of it. It tells us right here, for the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. And so I don't care if you're sick, if you're lame, if you can't get up, if you can't walk, praise us anyway. Wherever you're at, we should be praised. You got praise going on? Hallelujah. Praise the God. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hand. When you're praising God, it's like you have a double-edged sword in your hand. Mighty battle warrior, all right? Hallelujah. And to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people, to bind their kings with feather, their nobles with the shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. And then it ends, chapter 149 of Psalm ends with saying, this is the glory of all his saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go a little farther and say, let's praise the Lord in the city. Let's praise the Lord in the fields. Let's praise the Lord wherever we go. Because we know that 150 tells us that everything, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Continue to praise the Lord. We're going to continue tonight learning a little bit about why we must be fed, how our spirit is just running to be fed. It's just, if you go without being fed too long, you can believe that you're going to fall into different obstacles because we are made to be fed. Just like our physical body needs to be fed, our spiritual bodies desire to be fed. So let's go ahead and bow our heads, shall we? In the name of our precious Father, hallelujah. We thank you, dear Father, for our precious, your precious Son and your precious anointing that you just covers us with, and you just, we can rest in your arms and your safety and your salvation. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your divine intervention, dear Father, in the midst of our turmoils and all the things that gets us upset. We just thank you for rest. We thank you for comfort. We thank you for understanding. Thank you for always sending somebody with a word. Hallelujah. With your word. Of all the words that people put in their mouths. Dear Father, but you know how to send somebody through all the midst of all them troubling words and deliver that person to us that has your word. And that word immediately gives us comfort, and we always know that's the word of God. That's the word from God. That's the word to come to help me. That's my help coming on. We thank you, Jesus, for never leaving us, never forsaking us. And as we come to learn more about you through your word, the Spirit is you, and we want your word inside of us to work with our spirit, to connect with yours so we can walk right, so we can talk right, so we can be led into your direction. So we just ask that I just decrease now, Lord. I can learn from the word. And we ask that you just increase and just use me as your willing vessel to speak your word to your people all over this nation. At whatever time they're hearing it, it's just for them at that time. In the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for allowing us to just bring all of our sins, all of our cares, all of our troubles, that we can bring them to the altar and we can just leave them there that we don't have to get up with them. And any time that we feel that thought of thinking about it again, we just can't imagine that that's just the enemy trying to pick up our troubles, and he's tapping us on our shoulders saying, hey, you forgot this, you forgot that. But we can just smack him out of the way. We don't have to worry about it. But we can say, my Father has that. Hallelujah. So we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for those opportunities. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't serve man, but we serve God. In your darling son's name, amen. We thank you. Hallelujah, saints. Let's just get right back into the word. I don't know what you've been through today. I hope you had a good day wherever you're at. I hope that you've been blessed, and regardless of all the different things that may have came your way that you were not expecting or you did not want, I hope that you were able to reach back in your heart and pull out some of those words, and then you were able to watch what came over your bridge and came out into the world. And just reminding everyone, for the last broadcasts, we've been speaking about your tongue is like a bridge. And out of the abundance of your heart, it carries over your bridge something that's going to affect this world. And so we are responsible for how we treat the world because God has put us here in the world. And we know that everything in heaven and earth is His. So we are responsible for what we put into this world. So it depends on what's in your heart that's going to be put out into the world. Whatever it was that's going on in your life today, I just pray that you were able to stop and think about it before you just said something. Because we can't get those words back. We don't have any way. Even if we apologize, those words are still there. And if it's hurt someone, those words still will hurt them, even though they love you enough to try to accept your apology and move forward. Those words are still there. So we remind everyone that you're doing your self-examinations. During this series, we want to be fed on God's word and grow. And we want to make sure that the words that we are bringing out of us, and we can feel God's word inside of us, even in our bad times when something goes down, we're more likely to be able to have God's word so deep in our heart that we can draw off of God's word instead of drawing off of other words, the world's word that we have inside of us, and that would get us in trouble or pollute the world even more. So that's what we're aiming for. That's what we're going for. So as you come along on this journey, just remember that we're trying to make the world a better place. And we can do that by starting with, like Michael Jackson used to say, the man in the mirror. So we're looking in the mirror tonight at ourselves, okay? Now, once you begin to feed on God's word, it won't be long again before you discover that God does not expect you to grow up on your own. You know, you're not expecting your child to just grow up on their own. Well, most people, I do run into some parents like that that do express to me that the child is about four now, so they're on, you know, they can do their own thing and don't really need them as much. But in addition to God's word and to the Holy Spirit God has left us, does His word and the Holy Spirit to nurture us to in our growth process. So again, God has also given us gifts that are essential to His plans. And I know that through those gifts sometimes and talents that we have, people in the world can pump you up and put you on a pedestal because they are astonished by your gifts or they are entertained by your talents. And so you start to kind of use those talents and gifts according to your plans. But really those gifts are just that. They are gifts. And that's why we call them presents. They are to be used in the present time, but in God's plans, the plans that are essential to Him. In Ephesians 4:11 and 13, it reads, and Ephesians is in the New Testament, if you're looking for it, you need to go to the right and keep on moving back till you find Ephesians, okay? Ephesians 4 and then 11 and 13 is where I'm starting to read from. And it's just a little quick verse here I want to read to you. And it says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and then some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. I emphasize that because in different places, in different seasons of your life, you may be given different ones at a different time, or you may be experiencing where you may run into all of these people at a short period in your life. But for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, he said, it's the reason that I'm giving them to you. So again, Ephesians 4:11-13, that he gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teaching for the perfecting of the saints. It's all for the perfecting of the saints. It's not to edify or bow down to these people, but it's for the perfecting of the saints. All right, I think we have that. Let's move forward. It said it's also for the work of the ministries. It's also to build up the kingdom of God. That's why these people are, he's giving them to us. It's also for the edifying of the body of Christ. So it's for, to get us all, to feed us, the edifying of the body of Christ. And move on to say that till we all come unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So until he comes back again, he wants us to be edifying the body of Christ. He wants us to be working in the ministry, and he wants us to unify. It makes our faith stronger that we come into one unity, that we are trying and praying so hard that we unify our faith. So that means when my sister is down, I don't open my mouth and say anything against her, but I go into prayer with her. We have to be careful that we don't just say, pray for me. And sometimes we need to get specific with our prayers. And we need to know what areas to pray for. I was told today about a situation, and I was asked to pray for that situation. But then it was so many different thoughts that was coming out of the person's mouth. It's which way? And I stopped and asked her, what is it that you want? Well, I'm not for sure because I really would want this, but then I don't know. My husband wants this, and I don't know if that's really. I said, well, you know, our first step in this is you need to decide what is it that you want to be praying for. What are you praying for? You've got to be specific in your prayers because you're divided right now. You have no idea what you're wanting. And I gave the example that I don't know that you, if you may be wanting to plant apple seeds, and I'm praying for this apple seed to grow, but in actuality, you're really wanting this here lemon tree to blossom over here. So we need to know what it is we're praying for. And sometimes in the church, we do the same thing. We're not in unity with our faith. We're not in unity with what we're believing for. And even in our homes, we take that same mentality back home. And so we're not for sure what we want. Do I want this job or do I not? You know, I'm not for sure which job I want. I'm not for sure if I want to go back to work. What do you want to do? So we need to come into unity, and we can use the gifts that God has given us to sometimes point us in that right direction of where we need in our prayers. And again, the gifts are the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers to point us in that right direction, to get us going on our right way. Continue to move on. The fivefold ministry team, it's what we just spoke of. It's what has been called the executive branch of God's government. And you've heard different ministers probably preach about the fivefold ministry team or even the branch of God's government. And that's what we're referring to. It's the ministry gifts that's sent to edify and to, again, perfect the saints, as we said. So now that word perfecting, that word is defined as complete finishing. You know, it's just like, in Strong's Dictionary, it even says that it was an example of finishing everything completely. We need these precious ministry gifts, just like a baby needs their parents. They need it. We need these gifts from the ones that he's given to us. And I know sometimes the world, we get caught up, and it makes a bad light upon the ministers and the teachers and the preachers and the pastors and the evangelists and the prophets and the apostles. But these fivefold ministries is needed. They're gifts from God, and we can't bow down or because the world says, no, we're not going to acknowledge them anymore. Now, anybody can do this. You don't have to be called or chosen by God, or we don't need that. But we as saints, if we wanting to be perfected, that means if we wanted to come into full completion, we need to make sure that we're in the season, whatever season you're in, that you're in the right place at the right time, that you have to be under some leadership of someone in the fivefold ministry. Amen? So we need these precious needs their parents. We are still children. We are still learning. And babies are wonderful. They're even precious. But no one should stay a baby. As much as I love my babies, and sometimes I reminisce and wish I could go back and just hold them again as babies and what I would do different this time, you know, around just to see them again, goo goo ga ga, you know, that precious time when they just loved mom and dad. Different babies. Babies are precious. But I wanted my babies to grow up. I would be excited when I take my babies around my family just to hear them say, whoa, look how big they've got. Look how they have grown. Wow. Look at baby girl. Look at JD. Look at James. I love that because no one wants their babies to stay babies. Hallelujah. And just the same, we must grow up. We must grow up and we must mature. So when you hear people talking about, well, not yet, I'm not there yet, what are we waiting on? I'm telling you, you will turn out to be 60 years old still talking about not yet. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? We want to grow up. We don't want to stay babies. So the next few verses here in Ephesians, which is 14 through 16, actually reminds us, and the facts are very clear, when it reveals the assignments of God's ministry gifts to the body of Christ. So real quickly, let's go over these here. Again, we're looking for the revelation of the assignment of God's ministry gifts to the body of Christ. And that we know what the fivefold ministry is, so let's go for it. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effective working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So again, it's telling us very clearly for us not to always be children. So it's moved us from babies to you grew up to a child, but not to just stay in that childhood stage. We want to be able to move on further. We got to become tweens and then teenagers, young adults. And we got to grow up to full-grown adults at some point in our lives. We can't walk around in adult bodies, but our hearts and our actions is still being tossed and thrown like we're some child. And we chronology could look at ourselves and just see on our timeline, is our body matching up with where we're actually at mentally wise, or how our actions are are revealing us, what age would we really be? What age would you really be? What age are you acting? What age does your words say that you are? Because, you know, a child has a limited vocabulary. Where are you at? And we're still running around cursing, you know, are we not interested in growing so we can get some other words in our vocabulary? You know, sometimes you may hear scholars or someone that we would say has a high intellect, and they may speak and they may say some words that maybe you're not familiar with, or some of the words you may be, but they're just not, they never stand before you and just start cursing or saying these derogatory words that we think, right? But if you look at some of those words and really study some of them, they may be saying some of the things that you're saying, but it's just in another dialect. It's just in another way. You know, so they've grown and maybe haven't grown because still completely up, but they've grown to the point that it makes you look at them and think, whoa, they must be really, really intelligent. And it's only because they have picked, you know, have learned other words to put in their vocabulary purse. So when they go, they got their briefcase full of all their vocabulary, and you just got yours in a little pocket that you refuse to grow because you're happy with the ones that everyone you know says uses the same ones. I never really like being like anybody else. I like having my own style. I like doing my own thing my own way. So I never wanted to be a cursor. I've had some issues with that. Don't get me wrong. I've had some issues with that in seasons of my life. But I've never been one to just straight up just been a big cursor. I don't know. It's not ladylike, and I love being a girl. And then I just don't want God to ever catch me standing out here cursing. It's just something out of it. It may work for you and it may not, but it may be a sign, though, that we still need to grow. So, again, it tells us that we don't want to be children forever being tossed and thrown and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That means that somebody on the street corner can stand there with a bean pie today and they can talk to you long enough, you'll be out there selling bean pies tomorrow. Somebody out there the next day can stand up here and they can talk to you so much about another doctrine, and you're standing there, and before you know it, you're starting to believe in that. And you've just been tossed. Just like the wind is just blowing you and that you have no more control of anything. It's cunning craftiness that just gets your attention and just draws you in, and now it makes sense. You know what? You're right. That does make sense. Why can't I celebrate this? Why can't I be a part of this? It's just this or that. Why can't I watch that dirty movie? You know what? But it's a good plot. And you've heard me say many times, it's just like taking the dog, a big pile of poop, and then just spread chocolate all over it and put a cherry on the top. And you know what? Okay, well, go ahead and dive into it and eat it. Yeah, some good parts of it. You know, it's got some good parts, but it's still poop. You're still eating poop. And that's exactly what's happening with whenever you decide that I'm still going to sit here and watch this. I'm still going to get into this conversation about a water cooler that you know is not appropriate. It's still the same thing. And we have to make those choices. What are we putting inside of us? Because when something goes wrong, you're going to reach inside, get something, bring it across your bridge, and it's going to affect everyone that's around you in the world. So we have to store up for that rainy day, because those days are coming. Store up in your heart today that I'm going to store more God's word in me than more of the world's word in me, because I'm going to be using these words. And it just depends on which way that you do. But we're all going to know. When it comes across your bridge, we're all going to know what you got stored up in there, who you're serving, who you're walking with. We're all going to know. So it says, we don't want to be deceived, but we want them to speak the truth in love so that you may grow up into him in all things, which he is the head, our Christ is the head. And we want us to be able to be a full body, that our body is fitly and is joined together We don't have any gaps in here because we're portraying one thing and then another thing is in another group of people. We've got to portray another person. So we're one body. Everything fits together. Every thing comes together. It's compacted together. So every joint is supplied with all of the word. So my heart has the word. So I can speak to my feet, and it says, yeah, I understand. I know that word. That's the word that the heart sends out every day. My brain, I can talk, and my brain says, yeah, I know that word. That's the word that the mouth speaks every day. You understand what I'm saying? I know that word. I can touch my back. Back be healed. Oh, I know that word. That's the word inside of them. God's word says that I'm already healed by his stripes. So that's his plans for us. He wants us to be as one. I've often said that our God is a God of order. Always had a systematic plan for every person to be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. So we're getting ready to go somewhere for eternity. And he's trying to get us ready right now. The ministry gifts are established by God to enable all of us to grow up in Christ. It is God's plans for the body of Christ to move out of the baby stage and on to maturity. So how is that done? Well, one key is revealed in verse 15. It said, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things. Speak like God. You got to speak like God. Hallelujah. No one is amazed when a baby that is raised in a French home begins to speak a French language. They just imitate in their parents, right? Nor does it shock anyone to see a little Japanese girl speaking fluently to her parents and doing things that the way that she sees them doing it. So why should we be surprised to think it's odd when a born-again believer begins to speak the word of God and begins to imitate their Heavenly Father? Why are we shocked at always, you're a whole roller? Is that all you think about? Everything's about God. Are you able to do anything else but worship God? Why are we shocked at that? God speaks, and he gave the power of speech to mankind in order to fulfill their assignment. Genesis 1 and 28, just real quickly, I just feel led. It says, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth up on the earth. So understanding the power of the words I speak is the most important truth I've learned that's helped me to grow and possess God's promises. God created the world and everything in it by using the force of faith. Hallelujah. God's word. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to succeed. And in my closing, and we're going to finish off on this tomorrow night, will be our last part of it, and we'll move on. But in my closing tonight, I want you to understand the power of God's words. It is the most important truth that you're going to be able to learn to move forward into maturity. So I just want everyone to just concentrate on and look inside of you. Remember, every night I'm asking you to do a self-examination. I like to go in my bathroom and look in my mirror at myself. And I just examine myself. Vaughn, how did things go today? Vaughn, you could have did something else and you did not. You procrastinated in this area. Vaughn, this here could have been done differently. Vaughn, are you worrying about this? Your words may say not, but why are you looking like this? Why are you doing this? In your self-examination tonight, and let me just stop real quick. The Holy Spirit is telling me also, we need to make sure in our self-examination that we're just not beating ourselves up. Because talking yourself is not really beating yourself up. You're getting yourself set up for perfection. You're setting yourself up to do better the next day. But you need to also look at yourself, and I don't care what your day was like. It was something in your day that you need to pat yourself on the back about, that you can say, this was a good thing you did today. Hallelujah. Sometimes I walk past somebody, and the Holy Spirit will say, hello, Jennifer. Hello, Jennifer. Jennifer may not have spoke to me, but God says, say hello, Jennifer. It's just obedience. Any little thing, recommend yourself. Hey, pat yourself on the back. Hallelujah. But just keep in mind, what's in your heart is in there because that's what you're allowed to put in there. So, you know, check yourself and say, you know what, let me stop. I'm not going to read this today. I'm not putting that in me today. You know, I choose not to put that in me today. Check that off your list. That's one thing that you accomplished today. Hallelujah. Check that off of your list. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we'll see you on tomorrow. We'll pick up and finish off this series. But God bless you, each and every one. And again, we don't want to leave the show without doing the most important thing, introducing you to that friend that'll always be there. This may be your first time that you've heard about any Jesus. This may be your first time that you've heard any word of God. You've heard about God, but really, what is this God stuff? But now maybe tonight it's starting to make sense to you. It's clicking. You said, now what do I do? Well, it's simple. God is not a hard God. He's there. He made you of his image. So he can connect with you. What you're feeling right now is just you connecting with him. You're connecting with your parent, just like a child connects with their parent. So don't be afraid. Stop right now and just repeat after me. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and to make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I just want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on that cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Congratulations, you are a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. And friend, you have a whole new life in Jesus to look forward to starting right now. It's important that you let somebody know of your decision to follow Christ. You can contact me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. I'll be more than happy to send you out any Bible literature or anything that you need. And just remember, God loves you, but the most important thing, I don't care who in your life, your family may love you, I even love you. Here at the ministry, we're here for you. But God bless you. Special shout-outs to you, Terry. God bless you all. Until the next evening, just remember, there is nothing that God can't handle. This is Evangelist Von Dillon signing off. As we love you, good night.